Maybe Kevin's lesson will be a little shorter since Hunter gave us part of it.
You ever feel like your homework got stolen? Nothing like your son coming up here right before you're fixing to give a sermon and suck the middle out of it, right? He asked me right as he was walking out, "What chapter are you in again?" I think he initially was going to be in Romans 6, and then when I told him Romans 7, he switched to chapter 7 really quick. Anyway, we're going to be right where he talked. So good news, you're going to get somewhat of a double dose of this. Yeah. As I talked about last week, this chapter is kind of broken into three parts. The first few verses that we're actually going to reflect back on again today is this analogy. The middle section is the battle you can't win. And then the section that we're going to spend most of our time on today is the back half of this chapter, which is the battle you can't lose. And so it is interesting, last week after church, Lana and I were driving home, and she said, "Brooks said, Pop-Pop's really frustrated this morning." So as I was preaching, I guess I really portrayed this frustration. And Lana and I were driving home, and I was like, you know, I was frustrated. Have you ever stepped into a basketball game or a football game where you just knew you were overmatched? You just knew you were going to lose. Some of y'all were like, "No, I've never experienced that." Man, that's frustrating. When you know your best effort, right? Your absolute best effort, still not good enough to get the W. That's frustrating, isn't it? And so really, last week we talked about this battle we can't win, but yet it's a battle we continue to fight. And in the midst of fighting this battle and the recognition and the awareness that I'm not going to win this battle. Anybody else frustrated with that? And the whole beginning part of this chapter for Paul is Paul trying to get us to understand that prior to Christ in his life, this is the battle he was in. He's in this battle where the law became the... Is anybody like to know... We set up things in our life that are like measuring sticks, right? That we want, bars that we want to achieve. Growing up, we had a wall in our house where, you know, we walk up and, you know, do the old measurement, right? When I had hair, I was a touch taller than I am now. My mom last year for Christmas bought Lana and I this 4-foot stake that's kind of decorative that was supposed to stick out, and it measures snow. Haven't gotten to use it yet. We've had it for 2 winters now. But we kind of like that idea, don't we? We like this idea of being able to set things up, set goals, set bars, and we like to achieve those. We like to have something to measure against. Y'all with me on that? Our kids, oftentimes, I can remember Hunter when he was in high school. He'd get up in the morning, he'd walk into the living room strutting his stuff, right? I'm going to pick on him heavy today, in case y'all are wondering. And he'd go, "Hey, Dad, measure me. I think I grew last night." And it's kind of this idea that we have this ideal image of who we want to be and what we want to be, and we want to know that there's something to measure ourselves against, right? And so as I think about the law, oftentimes that's exactly what I think about. I think about it gives us something to measure ourselves to. And so we kind of like that in a weird sort of way, because it's like, is anybody in here want to be a good person? Half. I'll take it. The other half, I'll start praying for you. Right? But we kind of have this idea that we want to be a good person, and so we'll utilize the law to go, am I a good person? Well, let's see what the law says, and let's see how I do in relationship to the law. Making sense a little bit? If you're not sure, do your head like this, or do your shoulders like this. All right, if you're sure, nod up and down, throw an amen out there, it's okay. I mean, God's going to love you anyway. But the reality is, that's how we've utilized the law in our lives. And even Christians are still going back to this in terms of a measurement of our goodness, our worthiness. And Paul is saying, I've battled that my whole existence. My whole existence, I looked at the law and I tried to perfect the law. I tried to uphold the law, and it was my post. that I measured my existence to, my worthiness to, my ability to be God-fearing and God, this is what I measured myself to. And then I read texts like, if you broke one, you broke all of them. That doesn't settle real well, does it? And it throws this turmoil. And so as Paul, was I frustrated last week? I hope we all were frustrated last week. Because if that's the cycle in your life, it leads to nothing but frustration. Because there'll come a time in everyone's existence when you put yourself up against the law as your post, you're going to fail. You're not going to measure up. You're going to be 6'1". Really wishing you were 6'2". And it's going to be frustrating. And Paul describes that frustration in those verses of what we talked about last week. And so this week, hey, I'm going to try to smile more so I don't get in trouble with my grandson, all right? Because this week we're talking about the battle you can't lose. Does anybody want to be in that fight? I do too, but boy, there's some spooky spots in this fight that's going to push us to want to revert back to the other one. Y'all with me on that? This battle that you can't lose, we're fighting it from the wrong perspective. We're still fighting it like the perspective that Paul started this chapter with. A battle we can't win. And so I'm reorganizing this whole thing in my head now because of Hunter. So I initially was going to say this to the end and I'll put it in the middle. How's that? Just keep it fresh. Keep it mixed up a little bit. I told y'all that we're going to end with the first few verses of chapter 7, this analogy that Paul uses about marriage, right? And so oftentimes we read that text and we think Paul is talking about marriage. Paul's not talking about marriage. Paul's talking about our relationship with the law, our relationship with Christ. And I need you to hear that because he uses this beautiful example to try to portray this dynamic, this struggle, if you will, that happens in our hearts and in our lives. And he's saying, listen, if a woman is married and her husband dies, she's no longer under that law, the marriage to her husband, because he's no longer there. She has the full right to remarry and is not considered adulterous. Y'all with me on this still? And so why would she still compel herself to follow the guidelines of a law that is now dead to her? When we became Christians, when we soaked our life into Christ Jesus, Paul is trying to get us to understand that that's your new bride. The law is dead. You can't keep reverting back to that law. Because every time you revert back to that law for the purpose of measuring your worth, you're going back to something you said was dead. And you're denying what is alive. And so oftentimes when we get in this battle that Paul is describing, we read the whole chapter of chapter 7 as one big battle. And that's why I think it's important that we separate these two ideas, because these two ideas are very independent and different. This is the struggle. This is the battle you can't win because you're measuring yourself against the law. In steps Christ, and when Christ steps in, it changes the dynamic of that battle. Does it change the battle? And I think that's where we struggle the most, is that so many times I think we were deceived into assuming that if I take on Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I'm not going to struggle anymore. Anybody have that thought? I did. I thought, man, now that I'm going to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, this old self is now dead, and this new self is rising up in me. But the reality is, hi, Bodhi. The reality is that they still both exist. Remember how I started last week about how many people had read the book of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, or is it reversed like that? No one had read it, right? But the idea is there, these two beings living within ourselves. Hunter talked about that, this struggle that's going on. But the reality is if we're still using the law to measure our existence in the midst of this struggle, our disposition is wrong. And so Paul is trying to say, here, anybody want to be in the battle that you can't lose? Is anybody in here tired of losing? Man, I'm tired of losing. It's like when Lana and I play games. She loses all the time. And she hates playing games with me. We have to find different games that she's got a chance in because she just is like, this is brutal. I just want to play something I can win at. I want to win at life. How about y'all? So let's step into that game, and that's what Paul is talking about in the back half of chapter 7 of Romans. Sorry, babe. That wasn't right. Starting at verse 14 of chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual. The law is not the problem here. I think too many times we've attacked the law. The law is not the problem. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. Man, I want you to hear your own heart. As Paul is pouring out his innermost being in this chapter. Man, because we can all relate to this. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. For now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Does that hit with anybody? What? How many of y'all in here have the desire to do what is right and the struggle to carry it out? Man, if that doesn't hit us right between the eyes, I don't know what will. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. See, before we came into relationship with Christ, we utilized everyone, even in today's society. It's fascinating to me that the law, even for people who claim that there is no God, they still abide or try to abide by some sort of moral code. There's still this idea of morality. And in this idea of morality, there's a battle that's going on within them. There's a battle that's going on within us, and it's against the law for us and for morality for others, but the reality is there's still this battle going on. But ultimately and inevitably, we're going to fall victim to that. Because there's just... Y'all remember me asking you in Genesis, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is it a good tree or a bad tree? Well, I get a lot of, I don't know on that, right? Because it's like it's got both words. So if it's got both words, how can I identify if it's a good tree or if it's a bad tree? That's what's going on in here. Y'all see that, right? It's the war that's being waged between good and evil that's going on. And what we read, what we've just read about Paul going, he's crying out with this agony of, man, I know to do this, but my flesh, the sin that's in me desires this, and it's in opposition to each other. Can you imagine what's in opposition to each other on that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And just like in the book of Genesis, there were two trees that were centrally located in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. There's two trees in our life. One is going to be us trying to overcome the bad in us so that we can stand up and say, I am worthy. Anybody want to be worthy? If you do, congratulations. So does everyone else. Does anybody in here know in this battle you're never going to be worthy? On your own accord, fighting this battle, living in that tree. There's good in each of you in here. There's also evil in each of you here. And there's not enough good to overcome the evil in you. But there's a whole other tree. The tree of life. So oftentimes I ask people, which tree are you swinging from the branches of? The one that is trying to overcome the bad in you with the good in you? Or are you acknowledging and recognizing the sovereignty of who Jesus Christ is? Because if this is a battle, if Paul's talking about a battle that we can't lose, I'm curious. That didn't sound like what he was just describing. Let's read the last two verses of this text. I want you to imagine, and I'm going to kind of put it all together. My grandson is going to think I'm frustrated again, all right? But the reason I want to put some of this text all back together is because I want, as a matter of fact, close your eyes as I'm reading this text. I want you to insert you, not Paul. I want you to insert you. Put your name in here. Because notice from verse 14 through the end of the chapter, Paul doesn't use past tense anymore. He's using present tense. He's saying, this is now the battle I'm in. Prior to verse 14, it's a lot of past tense. This is the battle I used to be in. Now he's saying, this is the battle I'm currently in. All right, but what I want you to do is I want you to interject you in this, because this is the interesting dynamic that creates a tremendous amount of frustration, but there's a solution at the end. I'm going to start to close your eyes and just listen to your heart in this. And I'm going to use the word I a lot instead of we. That's why if you close your eyes, you'll not realize that and be like, Kevin's saying it wrong. For I know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not know what I want, but I do know the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. For now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry that out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. I want you to hear those last two verses in this chapter almost as a cry of worship. It's this cognitive reality of this war that is constantly going in my mind. And the victor is Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God for your Son, because He has redeemed me from my most sinful self. Paul is trying to get us to understand that in your own efforts and in your own stake of worthiness and trying to create yourself to be this worthy person accepted by God, it's going to be a battle you cannot win. But if you accept Jesus Christ into your lives, it's a battle you can't lose. It doesn't mean that the struggles won't be there. It means that our perspective should be completely different towards the struggle, because now I understand who Jesus Christ is and I understand the gift of grace. Grace is something we don't like talking about because it tends to be a crutch in our lives for being worthy. And the reality is, without this grace, we're in trouble. It's a full circle back. And Paul is taking us down this journey of going, this is what life looks like if you're trying to attain it on your own ability and your own effort. This is what it looks like. It's a battle. And every day that battle, you're going to get up and you're going to already be behind. And you're going to cognitively realize that I can't win this battle. And then in the present tense, there's this life with Jesus Christ. The battle is still there. But so is Jesus, who perfected the law so that I would no longer have to. Who said, if it comes back to this, which Paul has already talked about in the first several chapters of the book of Romans. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is enough? We come full circle right back to that exact same question. Do you believe the truth of Jesus' words? Do you believe that there is redemption found in Him? Do you believe that there is grace found in Him? I want to read this. This came out of a book by John Newton on growing in grace. Anybody want to let your grace grow? Like your understanding, your appreciation, your thankfulness for all that. Growing in grace doesn't mean that you'll get to a spot in your life where you no longer need it. Y'all hear that? Growing in grace doesn't mean you're going to get to a place in your life where you no longer need it. He concluded in this book, we think growing in grace means getting to a place where we don't need grace anymore. But growing in grace on this side of the resurrection often means growing in our awareness of our need for grace. Growing in grace isn't growing to a place where you no longer need it. Growing in grace is coming to a place where you recognize it's what I need. It's all I need. Because it's what Jesus offers. It's what puts the victory in the battle that's going on in our existence. You can't win this war, but I know someone who already did. And He is asking for each of us to step into the victory circle. Doesn't mean this war is going away. Y'all with me on that? I think that's a fallacy. I think sometimes we look at that and go, man, God must not be with me because this is still hard. I'm still struggling. Yeah. And in the midst of that struggle, grow in your grace. Your understanding that I need it even more. The understanding that my life depends on it. The understanding that I have no hope outside of the cross. I have no hope outside of the resurrection. Paul is making this claim. He's trying to get them to understand that there's value in the law. But if the law is going to be your post that you measure your life against, you will fail. And that's a battle you cannot win. But Jesus perfected it so that we can tie in to His redeeming grace. I don't know about y'all. Brooks, that makes me smile. Because, oh, how a wretched man am I. As the Hebrew writer states, I get to stand in the throne room of grace with confidence. Not in my ability to keep the law. Not in my ability to be right. But because I fully and confidently place my hope and my existence in Jesus Christ. And in Him, I can stand in the throne room of God, fully redeemed, fully claiming the inheritance that God has in store for me. Man, it's quiet in here. What's our invitation song? That's a good one. Another one's Victory in Jesus. Because this is a battle He already won. And He's inviting us, each of us, to be a part of that battle. The battle that we know we can't lose. because he already won. Thank you guys so much for listening. I do want to bring up one verse, Galatians chapter 5. And the only reason I want to bring this verse up is it's kind of a interesting synopsis of the whole chapter 7. So I'm telling this to you at the end because you probably, if I'd have said this at the beginning, you're like, why did we go through the whole chapter 7 if we could have done it in one verse, right? But it's Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. You can tie that in with this text. But it's kind of the same concept from Paul. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are, I'm not going to go through the list, but I want you to hear that synopsis, that there's this opposition that's going on in our lives. And in the midst of this opposition, the only thing that breaks that tie is Jesus Christ. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, I'd ask that you come as Monty leads us in an invitation song.